mothers and fathers, what are you doing about it? We have a great influence on our children. There's no guarantee that they're going to be saved if we're Christians, but it's a very good chance that if we're not, they won't either. And so this morning, and for the rest of your life, mothers and fathers, you can be a witness to your children. You can show them what it means to be a Christian. You can show them what it means to have genuine faith that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. You can tell them about Jesus, and you can show them the love of Jesus, and it will go a long ways toward impacting them and their destiny of their eternal soul. Please don't forget that. Please remember that. Regardless of the age of your children, you have a great influence on them. So influence them, if you would, please, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about a mother who did that. She taught her child about God. Her name is, I'm going to call her Eunice. I think it's technically pronounced Eunice, but I'll forget to say Eunice, so I'm going to say Eunice. She was the mother of Timothy. She's mentioned only one time in the Bible, as near as I can tell. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read the first five verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul mentioned Timothy's mother and his grandmother, and he mentioned her unfeigned faith, her genuine faith. And because she had a genuine faith and shared that with Timothy, that was one of the reasons why Timothy had a genuine faith. And so this morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about some of the components of genuine faith. This will not be a comprehensive list by any means. Just a few things that I wanted to mention. First of all, genuine faith confesses. Because Eunice had genuine faith, I know that sometime in her life she confessed her sin to God and asked Him to forgive her. We don't like to confess our sin. We don't even like to admit that we have sinned, let alone to admit that we are a sinner. But everybody has sinned. The Bible tells us that. All have sinned. Christians sometimes, even Christians, sin. And we always need to confess our sin. Confession always brings forgiveness. So sometime in Eunice's life, because she has genuine faith, I know that she had confessed her sins. Psalm chapter 32, verse 5, the Bible says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David acknowledged his sin. David confessed his sin. He didn't try to hide it. And because he confessed his sin, God forgave his sin. I've talked with people many times who have told me they don't think God will forgive them. They'll say, well, I've been a sinner too long. I'm too old and I've lived my life without God. God won't forgive me. In some cases, they'll say, well, the things that I've done are too bad. The sins that I have committed are too bad, and I don't think God will forgive me. I want you to know that any moment of time is too long to dwell in sin. But it doesn't make any difference how long you've been in sin. God will forgive you. I want you to know that all sin is horrible. But no matter how horrible it may be, it's not too horrible for God to forgive you if you'll confess. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession brings forgiveness. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, if we confess our sins to God, He forgives us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I hope you'll confess your sin this morning to Christ. You don't have to give Him a list of what you've done. He knows. You just have to simply say, yes, I confess I'm a sinner. please forgive me, and He'll do you that. I hope you'll do that even now while we're continuing our service. God will forgive you even at this moment. Genuine faith is also persistent. So I know that Eunice was persistent in her faithfulness to God because she had genuine faith. Genuine faith is always persistent, even in times of trouble. It's easy to praise God. It's easy to worship God. It's easy to be faithful to God, even when God's blessing us, when everything goes the way we want it to. It's easy to serve the Lord. When things don't, it gets a little more difficult. In times of trouble and distress and sorrow, it gets a little more difficult to serve the Lord. There's some indication in the Scripture that Eunice may have been a widow, because there's no mention of her husband, only that he was a Greek, and because there's mention of her and her mother, indicates that perhaps she had lived with her mother again after she was married. And so there's the possibility that she was a widow. If that's the case, Eunice knew what it was like to suffer sorrow. Those of you who have lost a spouse understand, as only those who have, the sorrow and the pain of losing your spouse. Eunice had probably gone through that. In addition to that, for her, in her society at that time, ladies didn't work outside the home, so for Eunice it brought financial hardship. She had no way to earn money to pay the bills. She had a son to feed, a mouth to feed. She had no way to earn money to buy food for him. So Eunice knew what it was like to struggle. She knew what it was like to be sorrowful and distressed, and yet she had remained faithful to God because she had genuine faith. She was persistent even in times of trouble. We're not very good at that. A few days ago, I got a call from a gentleman by the name of Ron. He was out at one of the truck stops out on the interstate, and he called me and said he was hungry and he needed food. And so I began to visit with him a little bit, and honestly, I didn't know what to do because we don't give money to people, and he was asking for money to buy food. So I called Larry. He's the chairman of our benevolence committee. I tried to pawn it off on him. He wouldn't take it. But he told me, he said, well, just call out there to there was a Subway sandwich shop out there. Just give them the church's credit card number and buy them a meal. I thought, oh, why didn't I think of that, you know? So I called Ron back. And I said, Ron, I can't give you money. We don't give money, but I'll buy you a meal. I'll call the Subway there, and you get whatever you want, and I'll give them the church's credit card number, and we'll feed you. He said, no, I want money. And I said, now, Ron, I went through the whole spiel again, and I said, but I'll buy you a meal. I said, if you're hungry, you'll take a meal. This is what he said. Oh, God, this is just not working out the way I had it planned. I said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He said, I'm blaming God. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Isn't that what we do? Lost my job. It's God's fault. Didn't get the promotion. It's God's fault. Woke up this morning with a bad back. It's God's fault. My kids aren't doing what I want them to do. Well, that's God's fault. Everything's God's fault, right? When things don't go the way we want them to go, we blame God. I want you to know it's not God's fault. That's what I told Ron. He said he had done some work for some guy and he didn't pay him. I said, now you listen to me, Ron. I got mad. I said, you listen to me, Ron. It's not God's fault. God's not the one who didn't pay you and leave you stranded at a truck stop. And I'm offering you a meal. If you're hungry, you'll take it. He said, I want money. I said, thank you very much. And I hung up the phone. It's not God's fault. When things don't go my way, it's not God's fault. When sin brings distress and trouble and sorrow and anguish, it is not God's fault. God is always faithful to His people. Your life may not be going the way you want it to go right now, but you must be faithful to God. Genuine faith is always faithful, even in times of trouble. We might say, especially in times of trouble. Genuine faith is persistent in times of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Genuine faith is persistent in prayer. Listen, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. He lives, God lives in us. That means that we can be and we should be in constant contact with God. He's never gone, Christian. He's always here. He's always with us. We should always be talking to Him. Verbally, mentally, however you want to do it, pray without ceasing. Genuine faith is persistent in prayer. Genuine faith is persistent in obedience. We don't like this one very much either. You remember King Saul was the king of Israel, and God told Saul, as the leader of the army of Israel, He told him to go and completely destroy the Amalekites. The Amalekite had attacked God's people. As a matter of fact, they had attacked the elderly and the weak of the Israelites. And as judgment for that, God had determined that the Amalekites were to be completely destroyed. So God told Saul, I want you to go and I want you to completely destroy the Amalekites. He said, every living thing, men, women, children, even the livestock, all their animals, everything that breathes, I want you to destroy them. So Samuel and the army went, but they spared Agag, the king, and they spared the best of the animals, of the livestock. Now, supposedly, they spared the best of the animals so they could sacrifice them to God. I want you to listen to what Samuel the prophet said to Saul the king, 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God demands obedience. There is an epidemic of arrogance and selfishness among people today. We want to live our life our way. We want to do our thing the way we want to do it, when we want to do it. And we expect God to bless us and help us in times of trouble. Right? Look at our nation. Look a few years ago on 9/11. Our nation is living without God. We call ourselves a Christian nation, but we certainly are not a Christian nation. And yet at the moment that the catastrophe came, at the moment that the planes crashed into the towers, oh God help us! We've done it our way. We're doing our own thing. We don't want you in our life except when there's trouble. And when there's trouble, we expect you to be here, God. Where are you? I even read a little poem. And the title of it was, Where Was God on 9/11? I can tell you where He wasn't. He wasn't in the hearts and the lives of those who do not know Him. But He was in the very presence of those who do. We want to design our own Christianity, right? We want to pick and choose from the Bible. Well, I like that verse about thou shalt not kill. I don't think I'll kill anybody. But I kind of like that thing of adultery, so I'm just going to ignore that adultery issue. I like that verse about honoring your father and your mother. I like my folks, but you know, every now and then I like to take something that doesn't belong to me, so I'm just going to ignore that thou shalt not steal part. I'm just going to design my own Christianity. I'm just going to do it my own way. And God, I'll expect God to let me into heaven. Because after all, I'm obeying part of it. If you're going to be a Christian, you must obey God. All of His Word. If you're going to go to heaven, you must obey God. If you want God to bless your life, if you want God to help you in times of trouble, you must obey God. We must obey God. Genuine faith. A real Christian obeys the Word of God. We are persistent in obedience. We don't talk very much about that. I noticed it got very, very quiet when I started talking about that. We don't talk much about holy living, righteous living, godly living. But listen, genuine faith obeys the commands of God. Finally, genuine faith is shared. I want to read verse 5 of 2 Timothy again. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Eunice taught Timothy about the things of God. She showed him her genuine faith. She shared her genuine faith with him. She had learned it from her mother, Lois. Eunice had taught it to her son, Timothy. They had passed it down from generation to generation. Now, I don't mean to suggest that Christianity can be passed down, but the example of Christianity can be shown from generation to generation. I'm afraid that parents, mothers, and fathers, and I'm afraid that grandparents are failing our children and grandchildren today. Listen, we'll teach them everything in the world. Have you noticed that? We'll teach them social skills. We'll teach them life skills. We'll teach them how to catch a ball and kick a ball and hit a ball and all that kind of stuff about ball. We'll teach them how to work every electronic gadget known to man. I mean, you find any 2 or 3 year old kid and they can do an iPhone and they can work a computer. They can do it all because we teach them. We do not teach them the things of God. I want to tell you two things that I've heard in dealing with parents. I hope you haven't said them, but if you have, shame on you. Well, I can't tell my kids anything about God because I wasn't a Christian when I was a kid. I made some mistakes and I sinned when I was a kid, and so I can't expect them to do anything different than what I did. Can you name me one person who hasn't sinned? Can you name me one mother, one father who hasn't sinned? Doesn't the Bible say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Can't we show them by our sin the gracious forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ because He forgave our sins? And then I've had parents tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't want to impose my religious beliefs on my children. I want them to make up their own mind. Do you teach them to eat? Do you impose food upon them? Or do you just let them make up their own mind about whether or not they want to eat? Do you impose upon them the restriction of not playing out on the street? Or you just let them to decide where they want to play, and if they want to play where the cars are, well, go right ahead, son. It's all right with me. Come on, folks. I've found that most people who don't want to impose their religious beliefs on their children are people who are not Christians. They don't love the Lord, and the truth is they don't want their kids to love the Lord either. Shame on us. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, teach your children and grandchildren the things of God. If you don't do it, who will? Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. That's not a guarantee of salvation. It's a guarantee that if we'll teach our children the things of God, that teaching will never leave them. They may not serve the Lord, but they'll always know that God is there. They'll always know how to be forgiven of sin. They'll always know that there's a better way if we'll teach them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is systematic, intentional instruction in the Word of God. Systematic, intentional instruction in the Word of God. Do it, folks. It's our job. It's our privilege. When our children are born, we hold them in our arms, and boy, they smell so good, don't they, when they're babies? Beautiful, precious little human beings, little toes and little feet, and an eternal soul. We take such good care of the body. We keep them clean and their diapers changed. We feed them. We care for them. We take such good care of their education so that they can function well in society, and we forget their eternal soul. The body will perish. Society will perish. Education will perish. But their soul is eternal. Amen. Teach them the things of God. Mothers, be a godly example before your children. Let me say this one other thing. I know you're getting tired of hearing me, but listen. A few years ago, I talked with a mother who was an older woman, and her children were grown and out of the house, married, had kids of their own. She had not been a Christian when she was raising her children. And she said, "Oh, I just hate that I wasn't a Christian when my children were young. There's just nothing I can do about it now." Listen, until you die, you are a testimony to your children. And after you die, your life is a testimony to your children. Eunice lived over 2,000 years ago, and we're talking about her today because she had genuine faith. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We'll just have a silent invitation for just a moment. Mom and Dad, could you think for just another second? Grandparents, could you think for just another second about your children and grandchildren? Could you imagine them real quickly again? Imagine them in hell. Are you doing your part to teach them how to avoid hell? If not, would you please change this morning? Would you make the decision this morning? Maybe you need to make the decision just to confess your sin and accept Christ as your Savior. Would you do that? God will forgive you. Maybe you need to make the decision to be intentional in teaching your children about the things of God. Would you do that? God will help you.